Well, good morning, Life Point Church. How's everybody doing? Come on, it's a great day to be in church today. Hey, if you are new or maybe I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet, my name is Jordan and I get to serve here as our young adults pastor. And I want to give a big shout out to everybody that's watching us online today on our online campus as well as all of our guests that are joining us today. Life Point Church, can we welcome all of our guests today that are joining us for the first time? So glad that you're here. Hey, today I am so excited to continue in our series that Pastor Mike kicked off last week called Jesus Speaks. How many people, you were challenged by the message, come on, last week, holler at me, clap, shout, wave, wave a hanky, do something, if you were challenged by last week's message. As he mentioned last week, as Pastor Mike mentioned, when Jesus taught throughout the Gospels, he oftentimes spoke using what we call parables, and what Jesus spoke of were called parables. And the parables that Jesus spoke of described what the kingdom of God was like. And he would always start the parable by saying something like this: the kingdom of God is like this. And he would go on to basically explain a different way of living and relating to each other as kingdom of God people. And how many people know that since we are kingdom of God people, that we live and relate to each other in a very different way than what the world looks like? Everybody should have been saying amen on that one. As kingdom of heaven people, how many people know that this kingdom here on earth does not work? Amen. And so as kingdom of heaven people, we now live and relate to each other in a totally different way. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is contrary to the way that the world operates. The way of the kingdom of God teaches us to a different way to love, to serve, to be generous, to spend our time, talent, and treasure. A different way to lead our families, our marriages, our devotion to God, faith, and how to have a heart for the lost and so on. As members of God's kingdom, people should look at our lives and they should see something different about us. How many people know that we shouldn't just be people to blend in? Oh, I just want to look like everybody else. Come on, we were born to stand out as kingdom of heaven people. So people should look at our lives differently based on that. So I hope your perspective is challenged. I hope it was challenged last week and this week and next week as we wrap up this series. I would challenge you, get into your Bible. The only time you should have your Bible open shouldn't just be on Sundays when you're in here. Amen? So make sure when you go home after this, open up God's Word, read through this, get a revelation for this for yourself, and I hope this challenges your perspective, these parables. Today, we are looking at a very confronting parable that I believe is a much needed parable for us to discuss today in the times that we are currently living in. This parable is going to confront some of us in some uncomfortable, how many people know it's okay sometimes to get uncomfortable in church? That's good. That's a good thing. So it's going to confront some of us in some uncomfortable but good ways. Today we are looking at the parable of the unforgiving servant. This parable is all about forgiveness. Now, some of you, after I just said that, you immediately regretted coming to church today because you know where this is going. And so some of you are already thinking and making up excuses of ways that you can maybe get out of here. You're like, oh man, I gotta go vacuum the grass. I forgot. I gotta go home and get out of here. So some of you are already making excuses of how to get out of here. Maybe you're watching online and you're like, man, I'm gonna click on and watch a different message. Because today's a really tough text, and this is definitely a tough parable for us to talk through, but it's a much needed one. And I would like to remind you of this before we get into today's text, that I'm not the author of this. I didn't write this. So if you don't like what we're about to talk about on the power of forgiveness and forgiving each other, you know who you can talk about that? Jesus. Go talk to Jesus about that, because I didn't write this text, but it's a very difficult one. And I hope today, my prayer for you today that are here in the room, that are watching us online, my prayer for today is that freedom begins to happen for some of you in this area of your life when it comes to the area of forgiveness. So I want to give you a little context. We're going to look at our parable starts in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, but I want to give us just a little bit of context into what led Jesus to telling this parable. In verses 15 through 20, just up above this parable, you'll see Jesus teaching about how to handle confrontation and conflict when there's an issue between believers. I think this goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyways. How many people know that we are not exempt from conflict and confrontation with each other? I should have got more amens than that, but I didn't, so I'm going to say it again. How many people know, come on, we are not exempt as believers from conflict and confrontation with each other? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you're sitting here today and maybe, you know, when you sign up to follow Jesus, you didn't sign up for a conflict-free life. You know, and if that's you and you're sitting here today and you're like, man, I've never been offended. I've never had my feelings hurt. I've never had to extend forgiveness for. Just make sure and strap on your angel wings nice and tight, okay? And then you can go up and fly up out of here, okay? And just go about your business being an angel. But for the rest of us, man, forgiveness, this is a tough text. And so Jesus, in this first few verses leading up to this parable, it's a whole other sermon in itself, but Jesus is teaching us how we are to handle these issues when it comes to having an issue with our believers, such as going to the person. How many people know that going to the person when you have an issue is a lost art today? Because we all love to live behind screens. Nobody wants to talk or nod or amen, nothing today. Y'all are like, I'm good, that ain't me, I don't do that. You're lying. You're lying. Okay, we'll talk about liars next week. Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Kind of. But so these few verses are a whole nother sermon itself, but Jesus teaches us how we should handle these issues, such as going to the person to resolve this issue face to face, bringing other people in to help if you still can't resolve the issue. And he gives some further instructions. What Jesus is doing here in these first few verses leading up to this parable is he's teaching and modeling for us how relationships with one another are to look in the kingdom that he leads. Because remember, this is not our kingdom. This is God's kingdom. So we don't get to call the shots, we don't get to make the rules, we don't get to say, well, I would rather do it this way. No, Jesus calls the shots, and so this is his kingdom. So we live and we relate to one another, and we have relationships differently based upon kingdom of heaven people. And this leads into the parable that Jesus talks about. We're going to pick up reading in verse 21. If you have your Bible, open it up. Hopefully you brought a Bible with you today. If your Bible glows, that's okay too. If you got to plug in your Bible and charge it at night, that's all right too. As long as you have something. That was jokes. You may even mood to laugh today. Anyway, sorry. Stop. Bad jokes. All right. So we're going to pick up reading in verse 21. It says this. It says, then Peter came to Jesus. I think we're going to talk about that here in a minute, but I think it's worth underlining in your Bible or highlighting or whatever you want to do that Peter asked this question. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? He says, up to seven times. Verse 22, Jesus answered. He said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So let's jump back up to verse 21. Leave it to Peter to ask the dumb question. You know what I'm talking about? Peter, we just finished the series on Peter. Peter was kind of a, you know, he was messed up. He had issues. Peter always stuck his foot in his mouth. He just was, but God used him. And how many people can relate to Peter? And so Peter asked this dumb question, but let's be honest here. We all have those friends that ask the question that we're already thinking anyways. Anybody else have those friends? You're like, man, I can't believe you asked that. That's stupid. Yeah, that's actually good. I got that question too. So, you know, everybody's sitting here with Peter while he's about to ask this question. And they're like, Peter, why you ask that? Be quiet. Yeah, Jesus, how many times I got to forgive? So Peter just asked questions that all of us are already thinking anyways. And especially after hearing Jesus talking about how to handle someone or deal with someone who offends you. And so let's all be honest. We've all had this question too when it comes to the area of forgiveness. How many times before I can just cut somebody out of my life and never forgive them again? Okay, how many people you maybe haven't said that or acted that way, but you've maybe thought the same thing Peter's thinking here. Lord, quantify this number for us. How many times do I forgive someone? So Peter, what Peter's doing here is Peter is quantifying the amount of times that we should forgive someone. And I do want to make mention here that Peter didn't kind of just pick a random number out. During this day and during Jesus' time, many rabbis would actually teach that three times was the acceptable amount to forgive someone. So in the context here, most of who Jesus is talking to, they would understand that there was during this time, there was a three-strike rule and you ain't got to forgive nobody no more. And how many people you want to bring that back? Anybody want to tell the truth today in church? Okay. So Jesus, what Peter does here, it's Peter's trying to impress Jesus here, okay? So how many of you guys have ever tried to impress Jesus how good you are? Like, Lord, watch me serve and watch me give. And I'm about to. And so Peter's doing this. Peter's like, oh, look, he's turning to the other disciples. He's like, man, I'm going to impress Jesus here. Watch, this is going to be great. He goes, so Peter takes it and he almost doubles it. So he says, we know three times, but he looks to everybody. So he looks to Jesus and he says, Lord, how many times? Seven times? And some translations actually read 70 times seven. So Peter more than doubles this amount. And I know some of you here are taking Jesus literally, and you've already started counting the amount of times that you've forgiven someone to see if you're close to 49 or, you know, if it's the seven or 490, if it's the 70 times seven. But let me break the news to you. Jesus was doing away here with calculating and quantifying when it comes to forgiveness and forgiving people. So right here, what Jesus is doing is he's setting a new way of living, a kingdom way of living when it comes to the area of forgiveness. Jesus says, I know this is what you've been taught. I know this is what you've been told. I know what this culture's been teaching you. I know what the custom of the day has been teaching you. But I'm going to teach you a different way. And so Jesus right now is already introducing for us a kingdom way of living when it comes to the area of forgiveness. We're going to keep reading in verse 23. It says this. It says, therefore, Jesus starts this parable. He says, let me break it down for you. I'm going to illustrate this a little bit. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. Now, I have a different translation. I'm reading from the NIV translation. If you're reading from the ESV translation, it's going to say 10,000 talents. So we're just going to go with talents here because that's going to make a little bit more sense when we break all this down. So owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. So the king, who wanted to settle accounts, he calls in this man who owed him 10,000 talents. Now we hear 10,000 talents and how many people, that's a lot of money. Like, you know, 10,000, we equate that kind of in our minds. We go, that's quite a bit of money. That's, you know, that sounds like a lot. So in our minds during this time, we kind of maybe quantified that as a lot. But I want us to look at and really break down here how much the servant, because I think this is going to really paint a picture here for us that Jesus is really trying to paint for us. So I want to break this down, how much the servant actually owed the king. Now, I'm terrible at math, but we're going to try and get this right this time. So one talent equals, Pastor Mike went over this a little bit last week when we talked about, you know, parable of talent. So one talent equals 20 years wages. Okay, everybody tracking so far? Good, okay. Help me out here because I'm bad with math. Okay, here we go. So the average wage in the U.S. is about $59,039. We talked about that last week. Okay, here we go. So one talent, okay, so you take $59,039 times 20 years wages, one talent would be equivalent to $1,180,000, something like that. Yeah, $700,000. Thank you. I appreciate that. Come on, don't laugh at me. That's messed up. So 10,000 talents. So this guy, remember, he owed it. This servant owed the king 10,000 talents. My goodness, that's 11, almost $12 billion that this servant was just forgiven of. Okay, that's a lot of money. Like, how in the world are you getting that much debt? Okay, was he like playing too much blackjack in Jerusalem, a casino somewhere? You know, was he like running up a lot of double or nothings, you know, I don't know, but that's a massive amount of debt that you get into. And so verse 25, we're going to continue reading here. It says this, says, since he was not able to pay the debt, of course he wasn't able to pay that debt, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to pay the debt. Verse 26, at this, the servant fell on his knees before him and he begged, be patient with me. And I will repay, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt. Phew. Canceled the debt. Can we go back to that one slide here really quick on this money? How many of you would like to be let off of, I think it's somewhere. Can we go back one more? Sorry about that. To the number. There we go. Go all the way back through. Sorry. I thought maybe I could back you up a little bit. Maybe not. Keep going. So how many of you guys would like to be forgiven of that amount of money? What would that feel like to be forgiven of that amount of money? That is, would you not just be shouting for joy? thanking the Lord. Come on, Jesus. So can you imagine the relief and the gladness that the servant was probably experiencing to be forgiven of that much money? Now, I want to do a little bit of character placement here. I want to put ourselves in the place of this story like we did last week. Let's put ourselves in the place of the characters here. Jesus is the king. Okay, we're not Jesus, right? We all got that from last week. Okay, Jesus is the king and we are the servant. And the servant, of course, like he wasn't like, no, I promise. I'll pay back, you know, the almost $12 billion. No, I got this. Trust me. I'll pay it. I'll work a lot of overtime. I'll pick up some couple extra jobs. No, I'll pay this back. It doesn't say that he did that. It just said that he probably gladly received forgiveness and left. I mean, how many people you would sit and go, no, I promise. If somebody said, hey, I'm going to forgive you of, you know, a few $1,000 that you owe me. How many people would sit there and go, no, I insist. Let me pay you back. No, we'd all be like, thank you so much. Like, that's a great gift to receive. And just like the servant gladly received forgiveness, this is the first thing we'll see in our text today. We all gladly receive forgiveness. We all gladly receive forgiveness. Have you ever been forgiven or released of a debt? Maybe that you owed to someone or you've been forgiven of something that you were wrong for. Anybody ever? I'll never forget it. I lived in Oregon for a few years and that's where I met my wife at. And I'll never forget this one time I got pulled over, okay, by the police. And because who else would you get pulled over by, I guess? So I got pulled over and I was talking on my phone at the time, okay? I was talking on my cell phone and driving at the time. And some of you do this too, and I thought I could get away with this and be sneaky. We don't think talking on the phone and driving is talking on the phone and driving if we have it on speakerphone and we have it all the way down here at our, come on, tell the truth. Y'all ever talk like this before? We kind of don't equate that to talking on the phone. So that's what I was doing. But obviously I didn't have it low enough that this cop, you know, didn't see. And so he saw me talking on the phone. This one had just become illegal, you know, the whole hands-free thing. And so I was talking on the phone and driving, so I get pulled over. He says, sir, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, yeah. I said, I was talking on my phone. He said, yeah, you know that's illegal, right? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, do you have, you know, proof of driver's license? And, you know, can I see, you know, proof of insurance as well? So I handed him my driver's license. Well, at the time, I had just moved from Iowa to Oregon and just moved a year ago. And so I hadn't got my Oregon driver's license yet. And I'm going to tell you the truth right now. It's because I failed the driving test a few too many times. Anyways, I'm telling you, when you've been driving for that long, it's like, well, I'm an expert anyways. What do I need to study a driving test for? Well, when you fail it like 3 or 4 times before you can transfer. Anyways, that's not the story. Let's move on. So he goes, hey, how long have you lived here in Oregon? I said, well, about over a year now. And he goes, you know, you have a certain amount of time to change over your driver's license before you move here. I said, I know. And I told him a story about how many times I'd failed the driver test. And he laughed at me. And he's like, bro, that's easy. That driver test, that's easy. So he's making me feel bad already. And I'm like, man, all right. And he's like, okay, well, can I see your proof of, you know, insurance and all that stuff? And I said, yeah, let me try and find it. So I opened the glove box, you know, and everybody's, you know, car glove boxes, you know, you open it up and everything shoots out of it. So I'm sitting there trying to sift through, I said, man, I can't find my proof of insurance either. And he said, all right, well, why don't you hang tight here? I'll go back to my car and I'll be right back. And so at this point in time, I'm praying to Jesus. I'm just calling come on. You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there racking up the amount of fines that I'm about to owe. In tickets. Have you ever done this before? If you've ever gotten pulled over for like, okay, I was speeding, I ran a stop sign, and you're going, man, how much money am I about to owe here? So I'm literally like going, man, I think I'm going to owe like this. This is going to be terrible. So he comes back to me and he hands me back my driver's license and he says, today's your lucky day. He said, my wife and I, we just moved here from Michigan. He said, we're Big Ten football fans. So Big Ten, like that's what the Iowa Hawkeyes are in. Come on, Jesus. And so he says, my wife and I, we're Big Ten fans. Like we're, you know, Big Ten in you know, conference and you know, in sports and college. He says, we're Big Ten fans. He says, we're Big Ten fans too. This is your lucky day. He hands me back my driver's license. Come on. And he let me off the hook. Brother, let me go. Come on. So I get that stuff taken care of. So I thought to myself, man alive, the Iowa Hawkeyes might not always win championships, but they're going to get me out of some tickets. You know what I'm saying? It paid to be an Iowa Hawkeye fan. Man, I was feeling so much gladness and relief, man, just you know, to be let off from something like that. But I know that's a little bit lighthearted, but maybe you're here today and you're a student that maybe has been forgiven for not turning a homework assignment in on time, and you could have gotten a bad grade, but the teacher was like, hey, I'm gonna forgive you this time, and I'm gonna give you extension. Maybe you've been forgiven by a boss. Maybe some of you here today, you've been forgiven by a boss for making a huge mistake that could have cost you your job, but your boss is like, I'm gonna forgive you. Maybe you've been forgiven by a spouse. Come on, how many people know that forgiveness in marriage is a big deal? And husbands, come on, we need a lot. We need a lot, okay? A lot of forgiveness. All the husbands didn't say amen. I was trying to help you out there, but you didn't say nothing. So husbands, we need a lot of forgiveness. In the military, maybe you've been forgiven by your boss for a mistake you made. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna just even the playing field out here a little bit. If you can't think of a time that you've been forgiven of a debt that you owed and could not pay for, let me remind you that if you are a follower of Jesus, it was over 2,000 years ago when Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, past, present, and future. Come on. That was a debt that you and I could not pay. How many people you're thankful today that we get to gladly receive God's forgiveness when we blow up and when we make mistakes and we mess up again and again and again? God looks at us and he says, that debt has been canceled. Go, I forgive you. Come on, how many people you're thankful for that truth today? And this, as followers of Jesus, should never get old for us. Can I tell you something? Never, never allow that to get old. That God paid for the penalty for our sins on the cross. I love what Psalm 103, 10 through 12 says. It says this. It says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. How many people, my goodness, I'm so thankful that God, do you know what the payment, the wages for sin is? Death. Like, that's what we deserve. But the free gift of God is eternal life. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Come on, we have all gladly received forgiveness. Are you thankful for that forgiveness today? My goodness. Here's where the text gets tough. So we have all gladly received forgiveness, but how many people know this? We struggle to extend forgiveness. See, everybody else before that was like, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's true. That hurts. We struggle to extend forgiveness. Let's continue reading in our parable. Verse 28 says this, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, he owed him 100 talents. Then he grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. This is the first servant that's just been forgiven of so much. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. Verse 30, but he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. So the first servant gets forgiveness of this ginormous debt. I mean, just an insurmountable amount of debt. Gets forgiven, let go of this massive debt. And he leaves, and he finds one of his servants that owes him a very small fraction of the amount of money in comparison to what he had just been forgiven of. I want to illustrate this again just to kind of give you a perspective here again. So if we go to the next slide over there, we're going to see that one denarius equals in our day in U.S. wage here, 236. Because if you take the average wage of the U.S., and you divide it in months and weeks, and don't ask me how I got that. I didn't do the math, but just trust me. Look, it's 236, okay? Just you do the math for me, trust me. So 100 denarii, what this servant owed the first servant that was forgiven of so much, 100 denarii in U.S. would equal about $23,615, would be equal to about that much money. So he was forgiven, it was like 0.00018 of the debt that the first servant owed his master, a very small percentage of the debt that the first servant owed. Now, listen to me. Before you go, how can that guy do that? I can't believe that. What a jerk. How could he be forgiven of such a huge debt and turn and not forgive someone of something so insignificant of what he was forgiven of? Let me remind you that we are the servant in the text. And that's been me, and that's been you. Now, maybe you've never grabbed anyone by the throat and choked them out and had them thrown in prison. If you have, just talk to you after this. We'll pray for you. It'll be all good. But we've all refused. We've all refused to let someone go and forgive them. We've all held people captive, maybe not in a physical prison, but in an internal prison. Some of us have been living in unforgiveness towards a spouse, maybe a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a cousin, an uncle, maybe someone that I talked to somebody out in the lobby afterwards and I made mention of this. Maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness from past church hurt. Maybe you're here today and you came here and a church hurt you in the past. And I talked to somebody out in the lobby that just said, I'm dealing with this right now. Thank you so much for talking about that, because that's a real struggle and that's a real thing. Something might have been super recent for you. Some things might have happened years ago. But I can't help but think, if Jesus is trying to illustrate here how we should forgive each other, I have to put myself in the place of the servant that was forgiven of much and say this: if I've been forgiven of such a massive debt by God, including all of my sin, past, present, and future, what in the world would ever stop me from extending that same forgiveness? Now, let me say this, because I want to be sensitive to some people in the room that have had terrible things happen to them, and I don't want to make light of this in any way or make forgiveness sound easy, but Jesus reveals the truth of this text, that none of us as followers of Jesus and kingdom of heaven people are exempt from forgiving others. This is where the text gets really tough, because in this text and even all throughout scripture, we never see Jesus or God or any, we never see a text that says, if you've had XYZ happen to you, you are now exempt from forgiveness. We don't see that anywhere. We don't see an exemption or an off the hook verse. But here's the reality. Jesus knows that forgiveness is hard. I mean, people know that forgiveness is hard. Hashtag the struggle is real. Forgiveness is very difficult. It's not easy, but learning to forgive is essential, and it's necessary as kingdom of heaven people. Just like we talked about last week in the parable of the talents, and utilizing what God's given you and being faithful steward of what God's given you applies to this text. That's a kingdom play. That's how we are to act as kingdom of heaven people. Just like to pray and to have a heart for the missing and to be a generous person is a kingdom of God ethic. Let me tell you what else is. Forgiveness. And I know some of you right now are like, man, I wish Jesus wouldn't have talked about this one, because this is hard. But it's a tough text to process through. And so I want to give us just really quickly, what does it look like? What does it look like for us to forgive? What does forgiveness look like? So just some practical things here. And this is, I realize this is 30,000 feet, but I want to kind of get into just maybe some practical takeaways here that you can take. Nancy Alcorn, she is the president, founder of Mercy Multiply. She wrote a book called Ditch the Baggage. If you're looking for a book to read to help you, I would encourage you, get this book. It's 7 Keys to Lasting Freedom. In this book, she wrote a chapter on choosing forgiveness. By the way, forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice that we get to make. And this is what she said. Here are some things that she said about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying that what the other person did was okay. Forgiveness is not giving a person permission to hurt you again. Forgiveness does not mean having a relationship with that hurtful person again. Forgiveness does not always mean you have to tell the person you forgive him or her. Forgiveness does not always mean that justice will not be done. She says this, rather, forgiveness is saying that what someone did was not okay, but you're letting God bring justice into the situation and defend you. Come on, how many people you're thankful? Come on, I'm thankful for God, his justice to defend me more than I am myself. It declares your confidence in God and his timing and his character. Forgiveness brings you clarity about the relationship and allows you to set boundaries that guard against future harm. Some of you just need to stop allowing toxic people into your life, and you need to start, you can forgive them, but you just need to draw a boundary. And you just say, I forgive you, but I'm just not going to allow you. We just can't do life together anymore because you're toxic. But keep going. So forgiveness means having a proper heart attitude towards the person and asking God to bless them and show mercy. Forgiveness means trusting that there is a day of judgment coming. Come on. And leaving people to God's justice, which is far more fearsome and fair than what you or I could do. Here's the reality. Forgiveness applies to really, really big things. Some of you here today have had really, really big things done to you and horrible things done to you. But it also applies to really, really small things. When somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know what I'm talking about? If somebody's texting, talking on their phone and driving. How funny is that? We talk on our phone and drive, and then, you know what I mean? Then it's like we see somebody else doing it. It's like, pay attention, get off your phone. It's the score of the baseball game here. Don't lie, it's true. It's true. So it's for the little things, but it's also for the big things. And how many people know that today, man, there's no lack of things for us to get offended and upset about? My goodness, if you scroll through Facebook for 2 minutes, you're going to be ticked and irritated as all get out. Does anybody else agree with that? Come on, it's rough. So today there's no lack of things to get offended about. But I want to share just a personal and pastoral observation. And this might be tough for some of you to hear, but I'm going to say it anyways. Some of us wouldn't have to worry about forgiving as much if we learned to not get offended as much. Whew. Let's pray and shut this thing down. Amen. You're dismissed. So some of us wouldn't have to worry about practicing forgiveness as much if we didn't get as offended as much. Some of us are just walking offense carriers. And we're ticked about everything. Man, when you hang out with somebody, you know when they're walking offense carriers. When you hang out with them, you spend a minute around them and you're like, I'm going to leave now. Because they're like, upset and mad about everything. I can't believe this person did this, and I can't believe they support this. And I can't believe they didn't say hi to me. And I can't believe they didn't care that I wasn't there. Stephen Furtick, he's the pastor of Elevation Church. He said this one time in a sermon that really stuck out to me. He said, it's so hard for some of you to stay happy because it's so easy for you to get offended. And some of your happiness is determined on, my goodness, just not getting offended as much. Just, man, we're going to move on here. Because I got some practical things really quick, and then we got to wrap this message up. This is just four really quick things. I'm going to go through these fast, but I would encourage you to write these down. I hope these kind of help you. Just to kind of, in the world that we're living in today, where, man, it's just, you have everything. You have differing thoughts and opinions, and people barking at you about all kinds of stuff all the time. And so, as followers of Jesus, we just need to put some things in place to help us in this area. And so the first one is this. It's super deep, theologically rich. This is going to blow you away right here. The first thing is this. Read your Bible and pray. I know that's deep. But what I found, it is really hard, not impossible, but it is really, really hard to spend time with Jesus and then turn and treat people like crap. It's just really hard when I like get into God's word, and I'm not perfect in this area at all, and I don't do this every day. I try to, but man, it's really hard for me when I get into God's word and I have worship music going, and I get a revelation myself of the goodness of God. Come on, have you ever read your word before and you just go, my goodness, God is so good. Thank you so much for your grace and your mercy that's upon my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me chance after chance when I've blown it and I've blown it and I've blown it. It's really hard to leave that and then turn and treat people like garbage. So read your Bible and pray. Ask yourself this, is this a battle worth fighting? If not, in the words of Princess Elsa, let it go, let it go. It's all good. Anyways, so, never mind. Just ask yourself, is this worth my time, energy, frustration? Because the next time somebody ticks you off and does something wrong, just to decide to say it's not worth it. Number three is this, live with pre-forgiveness. I don't even know if that's a word, but I made it up. Live with pre-forgiveness. Just live already, as Colossians 3:13 says, make allowance. Just live with allowance for people's mess ups already. Just live with that allowance. Decide in your heart ahead of time, I'm going to choose to forgive when someone hurts me and does me wrong. The fourth thing is this, be a part of a small group. I'm going to clap that myself. Be part of a small group where you can talk this stuff out. There was a couple that I met with just a few months ago that was really struggling with this. It was hurt and had some offense, and I sat down with them and talked and kind of walked them through this and helped them start the process. And they're in my wife and I's life group or small group today. And so it's really cool when you can have a group of people that you can sit down with and you can confess sin to, and you can be prayed for, not when someone else was wrong, but when you're wrong. And you have unforgiveness and hurt. So I don't mean to make this sound easy. It's incredibly difficult. We need to wrap up this message. It's incredibly difficult. It's not kind of difficult. It's incredibly difficult to extend forgiveness. I'm not trying to make this sound easy, but it's a part of his kingdom. Understand that. This is a part of God's kingdom. This isn't ours. This is God's kingdom. And this is what it looks like for us to be kingdom of heaven people. It's forgiveness. I want us to realize one more thing before we wrap up this message. We're going to close on this third point here. There is a cost to our unforgiveness. There is a cost to our unforgiveness. Verse 32, picking up on our parable again, it says this, then the master called the servant in, you wicked servant. He said, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And in anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Verse 35, this is how my heavenly father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The master in this parable, he gets word of what had happened and he calls the servant and he says, you wicked servant. Now let me clarify something here. I don't think God looks at us when we don't forgive. I don't think God looks at us and calls us wicked, but I do believe that it truly grieves the heart of God when we've received God's unlimited forgiveness. I believe it grieves God's heart when we don't pass on that same forgiveness to each other. He goes on to say, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And I think God would ask us that same question today. Maybe God's asking you that same question today. The master's response was to throw the servant in jail and be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Now, I know this sounds like Jesus is being really, really mean here, and he's being really, really harsh here. And I understand that last part of this text is kind of tough to process. But when we truly understand the heart of Jesus in love, you'll find that what Jesus is actually saying is there's a cost to our actions. How many people know that? As human beings, there's a cost to our actions. If you do something, you're going to get something. So Jesus is saying there's a consequence that you have to live with. If you live with unforgiveness towards someone in your heart, we see this action-reaction playing out in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus talks about. And he says in Matthew 5:7, he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus isn't giving us a list of rules to follow there as a way of living. And he says, if we live this way, this is what we'll get in return. So we choose to extend mercy, we'll receive mercy. But we choose to withhold forgiveness towards one another, there are consequences for that also. I've heard this quote said before. I think it kind of puts good language into what it looks like to hold unforgiveness. Holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. Amen. Some of you have been held captive internally with unforgiveness in your heart, and you've been tortured by holding on to it. You've had offense and hurt that's been taking up residence in your life for far too long. And I believe that God wants you to be free from that. He wants you to start the process of that today, of walking and living in forgiveness and extending forgiveness. So where do we go from here? There's some next steps, and we're going to close, and we're going to wrap up this message. So here are some next steps. I want to encourage you right now, before you leave, before you go, just right now, if you have a notepad, if you got a phone or whatever, write down. Every one of us have somebody, maybe a situation in your life that you just need to write down these people's names that you need to extend forgiveness to. And I know it's hard. For some of you, you might be reliving some past things in your mind, and I'm not trying to demean that or belittle that at all. I know that's difficult and hard. But for some of you, you need to start writing. Maybe you need to write down one or three people right now that you need to forgive. Maybe you need to make that phone call. Maybe you need to leave here today, and you need to send a text and say, hey, man, can we get on the phone really quick? I just need to talk to you about something. Maybe some of you need to just start that conversation, start the process. Maybe depending on the severity of the offense, Maybe you need to bring in a mentor, a pastor into the conversation to help you navigate that. And we have a pastoral care team here today that would love to help you walk through and get some help on your journey towards forgiveness. Some of you just need to make a decision today to stop being so easily offended. Man, and just go, man, God has forgiven me of so much. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace in my life. Some of us just need to learn to not let stuff boil and fester. Some of us need to get plugged into a small group to do life with other believers that can pray with you and help you through some of this. This is a big one, and I hope this is for some people today. For some of you, before you can extend the same forgiveness that God has given you, you need to receive the forgiveness that God has extended towards you first. Because it's really hard to extend forgiveness towards someone else when you haven't fully received God's forgiveness yourself. So here's the reality. We're going to close, and I'm going to pray really quick for people. So here's the reality. Forgiveness is a journey. Forgiveness is a journey. I'm not saying today you walk out of here and immediately, boom, forgive, you're done. Some situations will work like that. Today's going to start the journey for you. Because God doesn't want you to live and held captive with holding people tight, holding on to unforgiveness and hurt and pain. I love Pastor Mike says this. He says, you either have forgiveness, so you either have forgiveness towards each other, you either have unforgiveness, or you're on the journey towards forgiveness. So where would you identify yourself on that journey today? Where would you put yourself in that place on the journey towards forgiveness? Let's all pray really quickly. If you're here today and you've never received the forgiveness that God is extending you today, I want to pray with you. If that's you, that's the best decision that you could make today. If that's you, would you just open your hands like this and would you just say, Father, thank you so much. Come on, let's all say this together. Let's all repeat this out loud. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Come on, let's pray it like we mean it. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of a debt that I could not pay. Today, I gladly receive your forgiveness. I declare you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. For the rest of us who are here today, and maybe you've got things going on in your life, maybe some unforgiveness, some resentment, some hurt, some pain going on, and maybe you need God's help today through the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. We can't do this on our own. You can't do this on yourself. We can't muster up enough courage to forgive. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to help us in this. So right now, would you just open your hands to the Lord right now? This is all of us. Come on, we've all been here. We need this. Let's just open our hands. Father, I thank you right now for every person that's here today, Lord, that's hearing this message. Lord, thank you so much that you have forgiven us of so much. God, help us to extend and give that same forgiveness. God, thank you for the mercy, the grace, God, that you have on us. And so, Father, I pray that we wouldn't be people that withhold that, but I pray that we would be people that extend that. Father, I pray for anybody right now under the sound of my voice that's dealing with hurt, pain, a traumatic experience in their past. God, they're maybe reliving this and emotions are popping up. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do in us what only you can do right now. God, I pray that you would give us the power, but to help your Holy Spirit to extend that forgiveness to that person, to start that process. God, give us a boldness, give us courage to take that step and that journey towards forgiveness. Lord, we thank you so much for this word today. May it take root in our lives. May we not just be hearers of your word, but God, may we be doers of your word. Thank you so much for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, you receive that word today, church. Hey, thank you so much. Love you, LifePoint.